You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Good Tuesday morning to you, Michael Francis McNamara, as my mother named me. Yeah, that was my mom's idea. Corporal Punishment Kathleen. So anyway, good morning to you on a Tuesday. Welcome to the House of All Marine Radio, the House of Post-Traumatic Winning. And you're going to hear a little post-traumatic winning this week, too. You're going to hear a staff sergeant by the name of J.T. Perry come on and talk to you about his story, how he crossed paths with post-traumatic winning in January. So you're going to hear from him. You're also going to hear from some Marine spouses who crossed paths with it in January and the effect it's had, the impact it's had on them. Yeah, boom. And that's pretty cool, too, because let me see the coolest part, and I'll just tease. It's called a tease in radio. Yeah, this is now you're going to get a little look behind the curtain. Everybody likes that. This is like Oprah after the show. Okay, so the way we do mental health is like, as guys, we don't talk about it, okay? And we don't talk about it, especially with our spouse. Because I love you, I can't go there. So I'm going to be over here acting crazy and isolating myself, okay? So when we do post-traumatic winning, the things we talk about are, you know, he's dying over there, isolated, and, you know, he can't talk about it because Grandpa fought in World War II, and he didn't talk about it, and Uncle Bob fought in Vietnam, and he didn't talk about it, so I'm not talking about it either. I'm a man. And so slowly he's just isolated and, you know, and miserable over there. But because I love you, I can't go there with you. So when you call bullshit on that with spouses, hey, not only does he need to talk to you, right? I mean, he needs it more than anybody, right? Don't give him that pass. Oh, his trauma is so much different than everybody else's? Wrong. Right? Wrong. But everybody gives, right? Everybody gives combat trauma a special category. Well, it's no different than the trauma from domestic violence, the trauma associated with, you know, prolonged illness and watching somebody in your family die, sexual assault, physical assault, child abuse. When you were a kid, you got beat by somebody who was an alcoholic, or all that. It's all the same, but, you know, we allow this special pass. So I promise you tomorrow, listen, because really interesting, because spouses, they're the bumper, right? They're the shock absorber. And they're very respectful of all of that. And then they hear somebody say, yeah, don't do that. And so then they're like, what? Yeah, what? You're going to give him a pass so he can be lonely and miserable, and that's how you as a family are going to get through it? And they know because they're the ones that give that space and get pushed away. And I say, look, you can hear about anything they've done. All right? And they need to know that. And most importantly, they need for you to hear that. And I give examples. I mean, there's a book that was the basis for the series The Pacific. A very graphic, very brutal, written by a guy named Eugene Sledge. And it's a handwritten document that he got up in the middle of the night and wrote when he'd have nightmares. It's ultimately 1,000 handwritten pages that he allows his wife to type. Because it's handwritten, there's all these yellow tablets around the house. And he allows his wife to type it. Now, the book is pretty graphic itself. What the hell was a manuscript like, right, before it got edited? But he allowed that. And what do you think happened to his relationship with her? Yeah, it went to a different, better place. Because she understood more. But most importantly, he had unburdened himself to her. And she looked at him and said, hey, it's okay. And so, anyway, so you're going to hear a little bit of that tomorrow. And the first kind of installment of something we'll do. It doesn't even have a name yet. So I got to come up with a name with it. So I don't know. I don't know what the name is going to be. But so it'll be. It's two spouses from Camp Lejeune in North Carolina who heard it in January and were moved by it. And so there was a discussion about doing something like this. And so you're going to hear it tomorrow. And you'll also hear Seth Sartain and Perry. So we'll talk about post-traumatic winning. Let me tell you what we're going to do today. Today, you're going to hear from Alex Hollings. He, one of our favorites. And Alex actually is going to make a little news today. So I'll tease that a little bit. But Alex is a pretty sought after journalist and editor. And so you'll hear about that today. So. And then I'm going to ask him about China in the news. I wrote a little bit about yesterday about China using a page out of the Russian playbook, which is the little green men, right? Except in this case, in the South China Sea, they're on boats and they're Chinese boats, but they're like fishermen. Right? Wrong. They're not really fishermen. And they're ramming their boats into, you know, Vietnamese fishing boats, into Filipino fishing boats. And so, so they're generally running amok and doing those kind of things. So, so that's what's going on. So you'll hear from Alex Hollings today. One of the things Alex Hollings did is... in the course of him being a journalist, is he introduced me to a woman by the name of Lee Tuttle. She is an army wife. Alex emailed me one day and he said, hey man, I want you to meet somebody. I said, okay. And he said, she's involved in this whole base housing thing. And let me make a comment about that before I go any further about Lee Tuttle. Well, no, let me not do that. All right. So, Lee Tuttle. So, I meet Lee, and she's as smart as a whip. Yeah. So, anyway, I start, like, learning more about this issue, and she helps me learn about it. But anyway, Lee has been honored. Yeah. How about that? As one of the Armed Forces Insurance Military Spouse of the Year awardees. So a huge All Marine Radio, congratulations. I'm looking at a letter. Ms. Lee Tuttle. Dear Lee, I am honored to congratulate you on receiving recognition as one of the Armed Forces Insurance Military Spouse of the Year awardees! As you know, the purpose of this award is to honor the incredible men and women who serve the United States in their unique role as military spouses. I commend you for your important contributions and your unwavering commitment to the military community and to our country, so fittingly recognized in this award. And then it goes on, and the last paragraph says, thank you for serving as one of America's home front heroes, and congratulations again on earning this award. May God bless and protect you and your family as you continue to serve the nation. Sincerely, Karen Pence, Second Lady of the United States. So, how about that? Yeah, from, the stationery from the office of the Vice President, Washington. So, how cool is that? Yeah, that's way cool. So congratulations to Lee. But let me make a comment about the whole base housing thing. All right. So I continue to be in touch with not only Lee, but a lot of other people that are involved in this. And I have to tell you, if you presented me and you said, okay, I'm not going to tell you where this is occurring. Okay. I'm just going to give you the circumstances. Okay. That are occurring. And you tell me what this is. So you have people that have given other people a contract to provide housing for another group of people that the contract originating people are supposedly serving. Okay. Yet there's no supervision. There seems to be even not only no supervision, but dismantling of what little supervision existed, right? And that dismantling came from the organization that originated the contract, okay? Now, people come in this profit venture, and critical to their profit is being able to limit the rights of the people that they are going to provide this commodity to. So I contract with this higher organization and I'm going to provide this commodity, in this case housing, and it's really important to me that there aren't too many regulations put on me, because what I'm going to seek to do, because I'm a profit seeking venture, is I'm going to limit the rights of anybody that I'm providing this service to challenge me. Okay. I will be the sole provider of these services. I will decide. So, that's what happens. And now people begin to have issues, but there's only one organization to deal with. And then they go to other people in this organization that gave the contract, and they say, hey, we need your help. And they get told, sorry, you're going to have to deal with them. So the profit company in all this that's providing the commodity then says, sorry, can't help you. This is the way it is. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with our product. Well, but everybody's sick. Well, you must be stressed. You know, military life is hard. Just go shut up and color. And then you see this relationship between the owners of the private company and politicians, the owners of this private company and this migration of people in and out of the DOD to organizations that either are affiliated with them or advising organizations that are affiliated with them. So if I described that to you, what would you tell me that was? Other than fucked up. You would say, that's borderline criminal enterprise, I think. So the people that this service is supposed to be provided to, they don't have any rights and there's no oversight to it? Who agreed to that? The organization that let the contract. What? So they're in cahoots with the other organization, the private provider? They dismantled the oversight? What little oversight there was dismantled. Surely you jest. First of all, don't call me Shirley. No, I don't jest. So, anywho, yeah, the more I watch this, and then here's the other thing that absolutely befuddles me, okay, is that these families have gone to their base commanders all across the nation. And how do you think they would describe the reception that they get and the hand that is extended to them? How do you think they would describe it? I'm going to tell you what I hear. They describe it as terrible. I don't feel like they're our advocate, right? My husband won't go because he's afraid that it will impact his career. And so in a room where you would think that you would hear this from the base commanding general or the base commanding officer, right? You would hear this. Okay, first of all, first things first, I'm your advocate, okay? I have no relationship other than, you know, I look at statistics and make a recommendation to the Army whether they should be awarded their bonuses based on the data that I see, okay? That's a data point for me. I am your advocate. If you're unhappy with this, you come to me, right? And you get on this list, and I will solve your problem. I'm here for you. I don't serve them. I'm an officer in the United States military, right? Not an employee of that company. So that's the first thing you should know. Second, if you have repeatedly butted heads with them, right, and this is not your first dance with them, then I want you to get in this line over here because you will go to the top of the list. Okay? Now, if you are suffering some kind of medical issue that you believe is related to your housing, I want you to get in that line too. Okay? And then I want everybody else in this line that's got a problem. So, I am here for you. Period. Everybody got it? Nod your head. Everybody nods their head. All right, that's what we're doing. See this Major Umpty Frats, right? See this First Sergeant, okay? Their jobs now are to resolve these problems. But guess what they don't hear? That's not what they hear. And so as I've watched this thing, right, big blow up and everybody on TV with their mea culpa, mea culpa, mea culpa, and I'll pick on the Marine Corps. We're not just going to do an accounting of base housing, but we're going to do accounting of everybody's housing. Are you getting a lot of complaints of people living off base about their housing? Well, no. Okay, so, like, that's great, and that sounds great there, General Neller, but here's what I want. I want an accounting of the base housing. I want to know what percentage of those tenants have issues, and are those issues being resolved? Got it? But to date, the Marine Corps has furnished no data relative to their relationship with, as far as I know, it's predominantly Lincoln Military Housing. They provided no data to it. None. Zero. And so it's kind of an icky... kind of an icky situation. And I will tell you that when you talk to them, you know, the people that are living this nightmare, and again, the nightmare is this. You have mold in your house, right? Larry the handyman comes over with some bleach and a shop vac and some paint, and he scrubs the mold off your wall. Right, he opens the vent and shot backs the mold that's laying in the vent out. Okay, and then if it leaves any kind of stain on your wall or whatnot, then you know, we'll throw a coat of paint over it. Yeah, no shit. Does that make mold go away? Answer: No. I'm not even a mold expert, and I know that. I shot backed it out of your vent. Right? What does that do? Nothing. So, and this is what they deal with. And then they go to get resolution, and they say, hey, there's not a problem. So what do you call that, if not a betrayal? I don't know. So, again, And don't take your eye off that this issue, because there's real people that have real physical issues because of this. And if the DOD runs true to form, they'll turn their back on them, like they did with people with Agent Orange, like they did with the people from Camp Lejeune and that water issue. And that issue is going to crop up more and more as people begin to continue to do water tests and find that the water they've been drinking for decades is shit. So, again, to me, when you look at the people that go in and out of, from the DOD to consulting companies that advise private companies on how to work with the DOD, and really what they're talking about is how do we keep, right, the tenants of base housing, right, in a box so that we can maximize profit. That's what they do, because we have this contract, right? We've got their money. There is no Bill of Rights yet. There is no right of a military tenant to say, I don't want my money paid this month because I've got an issue that isn't settled. There is no right. So if you look at the model, they've got free rent. There's no administrative overhead to go pursue rent and all the rest of that. It all gushes into their account on a monthly basis. And so what's the key variable? The key variable is keep maintenance costs and replacement costs down to a minimum. How do I do that? I charge the tenant every chance I get. I go in there with a black light, even though we didn't do the black light inspection before the tenant got it. I'll do the black light, and then I'll charge them $1,000 for the carpet. What? Yeah, exactly. So it's a shit situation, and when you look at it, if you take all the labels off and you didn't say associate it with the DOD, you said, what is this? You'd say it's a criminal conspiracy against this group of people. Because it's wrong as wrong could be. So anyway, I thought I would get that off my chest. But I don't want to take away. Congratulations to Lee Tuttle. She's made me smart about a lot of this stuff. And it goes on. And again, the base commanders, it's like when they meet with these families, the families don't walk away with, oh my God, finally this thing's going to get straightened out. That's not what they walk away from. And so they're left like, what is going on? Like, who do I need to talk to? Who do I need to talk to? So anyway, so that's going on. All right. So you're going to hear from Alex Hollings here in a little bit. And, in fact, Alex, as I already said, Alex is the one that introduced me to Lee Tuttle, Ms. Lee Tuttle. And, so you hear from him. And, the United States Marine Corps Band makes it official. Good morning to you. Dedicated to Ms. Lee Tuttle. Congratulations on being named one of the Armed Forces Insurance Military Spouses of the Year. And also to everybody who's doing the work she's doing, in my opinion, in an issue that they shouldn't be dealing with. And that is, you know, the DOD ought to provide the oversight necessary to make sure that any kind of issue with housing is resolved. And if you think you can leave it to a private corporation and not have that trust be abused, then you have your head so far up your ass, you can probably look out of your mouth, right? Because your eyeballs are that close to the back of your mouth. You have to, like, close your eyes and imagine that. But, yeah, that's how far your head's up your ass. Any private enterprise left to its own devices will do what? Seek to maximize profit. Will they do so ethically? Most of the time not, unless it's an atypical organization. So, to everybody who's involved in that, right, this is also dedicated to you.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
.30 on the west coast of the United States of America. No, that's because that's where I'm located right now. I'm going to the east coast though. Mañana. Currently, cloudy and 68 in Quantico. At Camp Lejeune, it's sunny and 77. 29 Palms, sunny and 63. Camp Pendleton, clouds and 58. Okinawa, dark, cloudy and 78. Keeps getting warmer there. In the Al-Anbar province of Iraq, warmed up, cloudy and 81 degrees late in the day. Early in the evening in the Helmand province of Afghanistan, where Brigadier General Dale Alford, who joined us yesterday, people asking me to replay his comments, so I'll probably do that today. Specifically around about discipline. It is clear early in the evening, 76 degrees. Beautiful weather in the Helmand province. Poppy harvest going on. Yeah, so not so much fighting. Got to get the poppy in so the Taliban can make their money. Yeah. When you get up in a helicopter or an Osprey flying around, all you see is pink poppy forever. And that was made possible by USAID, who put in the canal system down there decades ago. Yeah. It's a grid irrigation system that produces a lot of opium for the rest of the planet. How awesome is that? Your USAID money in motion. Congratulations, everybody. Currently, cloudy and 60 degrees. In the Costa Mesa, Newport Beach area, Southern California, looking for a high today of 66 under cloudy skies, 68 tomorrow, and 70 on Thursday. So, weather, not so much. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll check some news headlines as we head towards the top of the hour. Alex Holling is going to join us. He's got a little bit of news to make today, so whatever you do, don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio. Coming up next on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt. Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Matt.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. Are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Could you go freeway driving today? Why not? Gonna fly in an airplane tomorrow, so why not take a whole week's worth of chances? Why not? You know, my daughter, she goes to school at like 7:45. She gets out at 1:30. What the hell is that? And it's public school, so you know they don't learn anything there. It's not like Catholic school where you're like, you know, they beat the drum. Try it all day. And we don't do shop in Catholic school. We don't do drama. Right? We don't do that shit. All that stuff happens after school. We don't even have a shop, okay? We don't have, like, auto tech or any of that bullshit. And she gets out at 1:30. And she goes to lunch, too. Like, my God. What's going to happen to the world? It's going to slowly but surely sink. Nothing's going to get done. Without any questions running. Peyton Davis serenades us here. And show no emotions, forget your name. Wipe your lips off my pain. But I know it's just me. Alone on this earth. I like this song. And as I was talking about it, I think last week or the week before, but it's changed. Like, what it means has changed to me. There are so many people that live with so much pain. It's amazing. And, you know, most people fake it. And so when you get a chance to do what I do, which is get across the country and talk about post-traumatic winning, And then they come up to you and they unburden themselves, you know, and tell their story. You know, it's amazing. It's amazing. And one of the stories is top five stories in Early Bird. Number five is frustrations mount over lack of progress on preventing veteran suicide. Post-traumatic winning, man, in my opinion. It's the only way. And you see it in... just do a little studying. Look at what the prisoners that were held in Hanoi. Look at what those guys did when they came home. And how did all that happen? Well, there's a way that it happened. And post-traumatic winning embraces it. So... You know, honestly, we should be talking about a very small number of people that, you know, have other mental health structural issues but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about people that shouldn't be killing themselves that wind up in that predicament because they go for help and they don't get help. But it's a difficult thing to talk about because, you know, the reality that veterans face, or if you're on duty, on active duty, that, you know, you really can't talk about. The reality is, you know, the VA and the DOD, they're low bid, right? And so, you know, if you're just getting your start in as a therapist or whatnot, you might go to work there, but as soon as you get a better job, you leave. And so there's a fair amount of turbulence and churn in that system that veterans deal with. Starting over, which is not good. And normally what will happen is start over a couple times, and then what happens? I stop going. Not doing it again. Not doing it again. Because I'm not getting anything out of it. So you hear that over and over. So it's frustrating. So maybe someday somebody will embrace the concept of post-traumatic winning, and we can make a bigger difference than we're making now. But all things in time. Yeah, Kathleen used to say stuff like that to me. Michael, all things in time. Really, Mom? Is that where we're going to go with this? Counseling me, who I'm not very patient, to be more patient? Yes. Okay. All right, Mom. Talk to you later. I'm out of here. All right, headlines today. Marines in Afghanistan to receive combat action ribbons, prepared for the next Helmand deployment amid talks of a troop withdrawal. Yeah, so always exciting discussions whenever the combat action ribbon is. You want to see things get off the rails? Yeah, talk about the combat action ribbon. Anyway, it's our own little Marine Corps, you know, internal ambush that we wage against each other. Anyway, this rotation that supports the Afghan Army's 215th Corps. Has been over there since October. So, and as is the case, you're going to have companies come back and rotate, and elements of Golf Company, 2nd Battalion, 25th Marines out of Massachusetts and New England. Lima Company, 3rd Battalion, 4th Marines, has been replaced by 2nd Battalion, 25th Marines, and Bravo Company, 1st Battalion, 7th Marines, respectively. The, you know, it's interesting. There's so many units that are, that would love to go be a part of that mission that two of the companies, are reserve companies. So anyway, they are, if you heard the interview yesterday, you heard from Dale Alford. And I'll tell you what, if you haven't heard it, it's you know, his opinions are fascinating, and what he sees going on over there from the requirement for a continued presence beyond whatever peace treaty gets signed. The economic future of the Helmand Valley, which, as I said, it's, so what you have is this piece of desert, right, that was irrigated by USAID, right? This incredible canal system built. And that's, Marja, is if you go to Google Earth, yeah, try this one out there, sports fans. If you go to Google Earth, what happened to my Google Earth? I don't know what happened. And you type in Marja. Okay, so let me find mine. Give me 1 second. And we'll fly there together. Google Earth Pro. Yeah. Am I paying something for that? Probably. Probably one of those things that I don't even see in my bank statement, right? That they clip me and like another bazillion citizens on the planet for $3 each. Okay, so now in the where do I want to go box, right? Type in MARJAH. Okay, and you'll see Marja, Afghanistan. Click on that and then hit the search button. And then the globe spins and you begin to fly to beautiful Afghanistan. Okay, so now what I want you to do is you'll zoom in to Marja. Okay, now what I want you to do is I zoomed into like the northern part of Marja. So what I want you to do is I want you to zoom out of it. Okay, and you can see the Helmand River, right, in the middle of the valley. But all the green that you see in the midst of all that brown that's away from the river is all USAID project, a canal system. Yeah. And in that valley, right, and in Mars in particular, it's full of opium poppy, right? So how do you change that? How do you change that? Now, there's been people like John Allen that have said that pomegranate, Dale Alford, who comes from rural Georgia, he has some different ideas that, you know, there's going to be a concerted effort to do it, and there's going to have to be farm subsidies, just like there are have been in the United States when you're trying to influence producers to do something. So that really interesting. And then his thoughts on discipline. He's the first Marine general officer that I know of speaking out about discipline since General Furness lit off a pretty interesting debate going on in the Marine Corps right now about discipline. What is the state of it? Are we any different from the other forces that are struggling with it? Answer to that is no. Marine Corps is struggling with it. And the conversation needs to take place. So, and then you have, you know, a whole, so Alford, he has no qualms. He wades right into it. So, so interesting, interview yesterday. So it's on the website. Take a look at it. All right. Let me go over a couple other Marine stories. Marines are upgunning the amphibious combat vehicle. Is a 40-millimeter cannon in its future? So is it not the Mark 19, but a cannon that would shoot a higher velocity 40-millimeter round? Another story that's kind of interesting, why U.S. troops flattened Raqqa and Mosul, and why it may herald an era of the feral city warfare. Well, let me tell you your options. And here's what the bad guys want you to do. The bad guys want you to do is what they want you to do is they want you to come into that city and they've turned it into a death trap. And so they want you to come ferret them out. And in so doing, you will go and you will suffer incredible casualties. And so the response to that is, and especially now, we did that in Marja. We went and got after and went, you know, house by house in place in Marja. We fought with them in Ramadi. Well, when you have a force that's not as sophisticated, talented as American forces, and so the casualty rates are going to be higher, instead of doing that, what's another alternative? We'll destroy the city. Yeah, we're not going in there and dying in huge numbers. You know, screw it. We don't live here. Somebody else's problem. So an interesting article entitled, Why U.S. Troops Flatten Rock in Mosul and Why It May Herald an Era of the Feral City. So, and what those cities look like are carbon copies of what Ramadi looks like. So, yeah, just absolutely annihilated. Commander of Guantanamo Bay Detention Center fired. That in the news. The admiral in charge of the detention center at Guantanamo Bay was fired on Saturday due to a loss of confidence. See if there's any other details. The firing came about after the recent completion of a command investigation. No further comment. So, at some point, somebody will make a Freedom of Information request, and we'll learn about it. You know, there's headlines about U.S. Navy warships sailed through the Taiwan Straits. The thing's like 100 miles wide. That's ours, the Chinese say. Not so fast there. Crazy ones. Big story yesterday, Army veteran planned to bomb a Nazi rally. So here in Southern California, so, I mean, thank God that people pay attention and that this one got prevented, but, I mean, unbelievable. Honestly, killing innocent people is the answer to somebody. Pentagon approves a plan to send more U.S. troops, a total of 320 bus drivers, lawyers, and food technicians going there. And the reason it's a big deal is they may have contact with illegal immigrants that come across the border. And the military is not supposed to do that. So, hence, it's a big story. Five soldiers under military control after reportedly stealing ordnance from Fort Hood. What? Gear adrift is a gift. Not always. Such was the case for a few neighborhoods in Killeen, Texas, where various forms of ordnance mysteriously appeared Friday night after reportedly going missing from nearby Fort Hood. Once base personnel realized that there was ordnance unaccounted for, Army representatives contacted the Killeen Police Department to assist in the retrieval process. The munitions were found stored across a number of homes spread out across four different neighborhoods. Quote, the ordnance was training ammunition. It was not high explosive ammunition. They took the ordnance from a live fire training exercise that was conducted at Fort Hood on April 18th, and the soldiers were not authorized to remove the ordnance from the post. All missing ordnance has been recovered. Well, what was it? The report did not specify how the ordnance was located, but did say an explosive ordnance team from Fort Hood was called to assist in the recovery. Doesn't say. So if it was training ammunition, what was it? Blanks? Was it blue bodies? Was it flashbang, arty simulators? What was it? Kind of cryptic, but that's the way the newspaper people like to do it. So you click on their dumbass story about something stupid. All right, we'll check this headlines of Stars and Stripes. Top of the fold in Stars and Stripes. Documentary follows sister's search for answers in the soldier's Cold War era murder. So that's about a documentary. Pentagon IDs a soldier died in a non-combat incident in northern Iraq. PFC Michael Thompson of Lincoln Park, Michigan, died of injuries sustained in a non-combat incident in Kobani, Syria, according to a statement issued by the Pentagon. The Air Force Academy removes commandant of cadets from job amid an investigation. Brigadier General Kristen Goodwin's firing comes just weeks before she was slated to leave her position in a regular rotation of leadership. She was expected to transfer to the Pentagon and serve as Director of Current Operations for the Air Force Deputy Chief of Staff. She was removed. top five stories in Early Bird. And then you're going to hear Alex Hollings here on a Tuesday edition of All Marine Radio. Number one, Pentagon approves 320 troops to oversee illegal immigrants. The goal is to free up Border Patrol agents currently assigned to those duties so that they can get back to patrolling the front lines. And those duties are driving buses, serving food, and some legal stuff. So you'll see a small number, 320. DOD personnel will assist in driving high-capacity Border Patrol vehicles to transport migrants, providing administrative support, lawyers, including heating, meal distribution, and monitoring the welfare of individuals in Border Patrol custody, according to an attorney that works for the Border Patrol. So, a story that we've been monitoring as the Japanese government looks for an F-35 Alpha fighter. According to the Pentagon, that fighter has been located. Wreckage risks exposing military secrets if retrieved by China or Russia, which the Pentagon says was never really a serious issue. A U.S. Air Force commander told reporters in New York on Monday that the F-35 Alpha stealth fighter that crashed off the coast of Japan has been located and that recovering efforts are underway. So, yeah, thank God. What happens to SEALs who testify in war crimes? Now, it's kind of an interesting story because if you followed this, and it's kind of interesting because there's no name associated with the article anymore. So let me scroll down to the bottom and see if it says a group of reporters. The answer to that is no. Why do you think that is? Are the reporters concerned for their own safety? So the story is kind of a follow-up story from a story that was written a week or two ago that talked about this case of Navy Chief Edward Gallagher and the threats he's made to other SEALs. Now, those junior SEALs went to their, essentially, company commander and first sergeant, except they're Navy people, so they're different ranks, lieutenant commanders and senior chiefs and stuff like that. So they went and they said, hey, somebody needs to investigate this. They got told that, yeah, you need to forget about it. You need to decompress. You need to let it go. Because this guy's like a celebrity, you know. I know that you guys say he shot a girl and shot an old man, that he fires into crowds, that he's supposed to be leading, except he's up in a sniper position shooting at people, and which is tends to be what leaders don't do during deployments. So anyway, they came back a second time, and they got told this: hey, the frag pattern, right, which means the fragmentation that a piece of ordnance gives off. Of these things, right, gets pretty large, and it might include you guys. So you might not want to do this. The third time they went back, they told their company commander, either somebody investigates this, or we're going to go to Big Navy, and we're going to go to the media. And that's that. And again, for that, those junior SEALs, whoever the hell they are, you know, ought to be lauded. Instead, what they were told is, yeah, your careers will probably be over because of this. At least seven SEALs are slated to testify in the May 28th war crimes trial against Navy Chief Eddie Gallagher. But attorneys continue to question what will happen to their careers once in the public spotlight. That's one of the issues expected to be raised during today's hearing at Naval Base San Diego in a courtroom there, according to documents provided by Navy Times. Quote, I'm going to give a speech about this, said Timothy Parlatori, Gallagher's civilian defense attorney. The issues go beyond the trial, and they're important. So do you end your career? And the question is, the ones that have been compelled to testify, will they take the fifth? So, anyway, interesting issues, legal issues, and professional issues involved in this client that has got national attention, international attention, that we watch, you know, pretty closely. From a policy perspective, I can't imagine the secondary and tertiary implications of this, and they're troubling. However, from a pragmatic national security perspective, I fear participation might indeed be disqualifying for some or all billets. Whether the response is, we've got your back, or sorry pal, life's not fair, it'd be nice to have a definitive answer for the folks involved in the broader community. So telling the truth disqualifies you from further service. And what's the implication of that? That SEALs, worried about their careers, will forego reporting war crimes in the future because it's professional suicide? In a prepared statement sent to Navy Times on Friday, the Navy said that every sailor has a duty to report a suspected violation of the law of armed conflict per a standing order by the Secretary of the Navy. There is no policy prohibiting individuals from progression along their career milestones or from successfully screening for special programs simply because they cooperated with a federal investigation or participated in a court-martial proceedings as a witness. It's a big question for the Navy, because you've got to be able to do that. And you shouldn't have your career jeopardized because of it. Number four story is the F-35 story. Oh, no, it's not. It's a different F-35 story. F-35 is deployed with wrong spare parts amid supply chain failures, according to the General Accounting Office. This is amazing. You send them out with the wrong spare parts. Because of modifications of the F-35 Joint Strike Fighter fleet, spare parts that the Marine Corps took on its recent deployment overseas were not compatible with its fifth-generation fighters, according to a new watchdog report. The lapse in supply chain management is one of the myriad of reasons the F-35 stealth jet fleet, operated across three services, is falling short of its performance and operational requirements, according to officials with the Government Accounting Office. You know what? I dare say this, and I don't tend to make excuses for people, but I dare say that this happens when you roll out a version and there's multiple versions of something. For instance, the Marine Corps doesn't buy the same tank that the Army bought. And so you have to get the supply system right. And so does it come out clean and shiny and smooth? The answer to that is no. So I will say it's probably normal for rolling out a new product and kind of things you do that shake out the supply chain. So don't mean to make excuses, but that is the way it is. Number five, frustrations mount over lack of progress on preventing veteran suicide. Just hours before a Capitol hearing on Monday to show on how to address the problems of veteran suicide, a veteran took his own life outside the Lewis Stokes Cleveland VA Medical Center. Lawmakers said that the incident was a painful reminder for all the effort and funding put into veteran suicide in the recent years. Progress on the issue has been frustratingly inconsistent. 2 weeks ago, three veterans committed suicide at VA facilities in 5 days. House Veterans Affairs Committee Chairman Mark Takano, Democrat from California. So far, we've seen 7 this year, and it's just getting to the end of April. It's clear we're not doing enough to support veterans in crisis. Takano and Ranking Republican member Phil Rowe, who's a Republican from Tennessee, said they're optimistic they can advance bipartisan legislation on the issue to continue more research and monitoring within VA facilities. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi had a press conference ahead of the hearing to highlight the new congressional focus, called the issue an uncomfortable, urgent crisis, and promised to work closely with the Republican Party to find answers. Preventing suicides has been the VA's top clinical priority for the past 2 years, and lawmakers noting that spending on support programs has more than doubled since 2005. Despite that, the suicide rate among veterans remains steady over the past 10 years, with about 20 a day across the country. Here's an interesting little statistical footnote. Veteran Affairs officials have noted the uptick in veterans who have died by suicide in public spaces at VA department facilities, 25 in the past 18 months. However, that does not reflect a statistically significant increase in the overall suicide rate. But they are more visible. They are more visible. So I don't want to tell anybody what to do, but post-traumatic winnings out there, it has an effect. No joke. All right, we're going to take a break. On the backside of the break, Alex Hollings joins us. He with some news to announce today. So, and then we'll ask him about little green men, except they're on Chinese boats in the South China Sea doing nefarious work. So more of All Marine Radio coming up. Right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.